son of Ramathaim Zophim of the hill country of Ephraim, named Elkanah, son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuth, an Ephraimite. He had two wives, one named Hannah and the other named Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. This sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were the Lord's priests. When the day came that Elkanah sacrificed, he would give to Peninnah his wife and all her sons and daughters portions of the sacrificial meat. But to Hannah he gave a double portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had given her no children. This embarrassed and grieved Hannah, and her rival provoked her greatly to vex her, because the Lord had left her childless. So it was year after year, whenever Hannah went up to the Lord's house, Peninnah provoked her, so she wept and did not eat. And I'll jump to verse 10. And Hannah was in distress of soul, praying to the Lord and weeping bitterly. And finally, verse 19 and 20. The family rose early the next morning, worshiped before the Lord, and returned to their home in Ramah. Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Hannah became pregnant and in due time bore a son and named him Samuel, which means heard of God, because she said, I have asked him of the Lord. Like Hannah, do you have a long-standing challenge in your life? A prayer request that seems to have gone unanswered for so long? A mountain of adversity that keeps staring you in the face. It could be an unfulfilled desire to have a child of your own, a longing for a godly and loving life partner, the return of a child who has gone astray, a health challenge, a thorny financial situation, the healing of a stormy marriage. When we are faced with adversity, we are faced with two choices: to pull away from God in disappointment and bitterness, or to realize our need for God like never before and pour out our pain and brokenness before him in prayer. I must admit that I have not always been so good in making the second of those choices. But Philippians 4:6 says, do not fret or have anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, no exceptions, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. Hannah waited years for a son. But when God answered her prayer, she received more than a son. She became mother to one of the greatest prophets in Israel, Samuel. She was also blessed with three other sons and two daughters. God knows and understands your pain. I invite you to pour out your heart before him in prayer today. But don't stop there. Arise, rejoicing, knowing that he has heard and is working all things together for your good. He's turning that test into a testimony, and that messy situation into a message, and that trial into a triumph. God bless you.
Amen. Come on. Can you pray for us? Yeah.
You've got to remember that one. Yeah. That messy situation into a message. Okay, a trial into a triumph. Okay, if you have some situation like that that you feel you want to respond to, I just, in a minute, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand, and then I'm going to ask Cheyenne just to pray over us. So if there's a situation that you feel that applies to me, just raise your hand right now, can you?
Can you pray for us?
Father, we come before you this morning, knowing that you know each and every situation in each and every life here today. You know. And Father, you are not just able, you are willing. Father, Lord, and I ask for each person here where hope has been lost, where bitterness has crept in. Father, I pray for the healing of hearts. I pray for the restoration of faith. And I pray that you move in. And Lord, we ask for a miracle in these situations. Just as you heard Hannah, we ask that you hear their cry in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Reimer, come on up. We are so privileged to have these ladies. Come on.
Thank you. One of the greatest women that has inspired me as a woman in the Bible was Hannah. And her story is in 1 Samuel 1 and 2. Now, Hannah was barren. God had closed her womb, and that was her pain. Now, the way Hannah responded to her pain was amazing. And that has been encouraging to me as a woman. Now, how did Hannah respond in her pain? We'll read verse 6 and 7, B part. Because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Anna went to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and could not eat. Hannah responded by weeping and not eating. But did you notice that she did not say a word to Peninnah? She didn't talk to her. And even in verse 8, when her husband asked her why she was not eating and just weeping and grieving, she did not respond to him. They could not understand her pain. And then verse 10, I like the way Anna responded to her pain. She responded by taking her pain to God in prayer. Hannah responded by taking her pain to God. She prayed to God in anguish and in bitterness. She was specific, she was bold, and she made a vow to God. And as she prayed, Eli, who was the high priest then, thought that she was drunk because she was just moving her lips. Now, Eli asked her, how long will you be drunk? And Anna responded by saying this in verse 15 and 16. Not so, my Lord, Hannah replied. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I have been pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Now, Hannah responded to Eli in grace, yeah, and in humility. She described herself as a servant. She respected Eli's authority and leadership. And in verse 18, because after that, they had a conversation and Eli understood she was in so much grief and that's why she was praying the way she was. In verse 18, Anna responded in faith and she responded and said, may your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went her way and ate something and her face was no longer downcast. Hannah responded in faith. She believed the word Eli spoke over her request. She believed that God had answered her prayer and she went away and ate and was no longer sad. Now, Hannah's response encourages me as a woman to always respond in grace and humility. Others may not understand what I'm going through when I'm in pain. My husband may not understand me. My friends may not understand me. My family may not understand me. And to always remember that the battle is not mine, but it is the Lord's. And she also encourages me to pray whenever I'm going through pain, to take my pain to the Lord in prayer, to be specific and to be bold. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. She also encourages me to respond and be a woman of faith, that whatever I take to God in prayer, that I believe that I have received it even before it manifests. And we see that in Hannah. She responded in faith, and she was also faithful and kept her word. She made a vow to God, and she dedicated Samuel to serve in the temple all the days of his life. And she has always encouraged me to always give thanks after my breakthrough. And because Hannah gave thanks to the Lord after her breakthrough, God blessed her with more children after Samuel, 3 sons and 2 daughters. And that is in 2 Samuel 2:21. God is not a respecter of persons. If he did it for Hannah in her pain, he can also do it for me. He can also do it for you. God bless you.
We love it, don't we? We suddenly get access to this wisdom of people like Jemima and Shay, and we revel in it. It's very good. Just to let you know how we did this, I just sent an email out to a handful of people, and it was almost like the first people to come back saying, yes, I'll do it. And slightly more people than I thought came back and said, yeah, I'll do it. And in the end, we just, no, everybody, let's include all of them. But we thank you so much. And so actually, I said to people, what do you want to speak on? What has God put on your heart? And actually, so God spoke to both Cheyenne and Jemima about this story of Hannah in her pain. And I just want Jemima, again, you know, to pray over us, that when we have these moments of uncertainty and we don't know what is happening, God, make us the people that very, very quickly come to you. So why don't we just open up our hands and allow Jemima to pray that the wisdom of Hannah would come to us. Is that right? Thank you.
Father, we thank you for this afternoon. We thank you because you're a good God. Lord, you are no respecter of persons. Father, you saw Hannah in her pain. And Father, we know that we go through tough times in this world. We go through trials and temptations. And Father, right now we pray that every person that is going through a trying time at this time, that Father, you will, Lord, answer their prayer. They will not give up hope. They will not cease praying, but they'll believe that you're a God of the impossible, yes, and that you who began a good work in them, yes, will bring it to completion. Lord, we thank you because you are faithful to your word. You said that your word would not return to you void of power, but it will accomplish in that which it was sent to do. Lord, we thank you because we believe your report. We believe that we are healed. We believe that we are set free. We believe that we have our breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Right, what I'd like to do is, can I welcome Eileen McCaffrey?
When I planned what I was going to talk about, I didn't know. I wasn't here last week. And if you were here last week, I believe Duncan spoke on Esther. And I've been inspired very much by Esther. So that's why I've chosen her. And you could see that, if you know the story, Esther, she was a beautiful Jewish orphan girl who became the Queen of Persia around 475 BC. She was raised by her older cousin, Mordecai, when her parents died. So she had a quite tough time, actually, reflecting on it. She was, as a Jew, they'd been thrown out of where they lived. And they settled in Persia. And Esther's name actually means star. And I was thinking about that, how if you read Esther, you can see how she shone out. She shone like a star in the darkness, and also where she was placed. She wasn't always in darkness, because she was placed in the palace. She was brought into the palace. And she shone like a star in that place. And she was beautiful. And she was favoured. And she was brought, I don't know if you know the total story, but I'm sure you do. But if you don't, she was brought to the king. The king wanted a new queen because the queen disobeyed coming to him. So he actually asked for a new queen. It was suggested to him to choose a new queen. So he had some beautiful women brought to the palace. And he had the choice of all these women, and they took their turns. And Esther, she was sent to the palace, and she was very young at the time. And she had to face the king. But if you look at her character, she had a good relationship, and she had very much had a good relationship with Mordecai, who loved her and cared for her, who was the uncle. But he used to go to check on her when she was in the harem, to see how she was doing, and they had a strong bond, and I believe they had a strong bond, and he brought her up well. But he had told her as well, Mordecai, she would listen to him, and he had told her when she went into the palace not to mention that she was Jewish, to keep that a secret. And I don't know about you, but I'm not always good at keeping secrets. But that must be really hard for her. And if anything, for me, I would find that really tough to keep that secret. But she also listened to the advice of others. And before she had her time for the king, the eunuch told her, suggested something to her, and she went in. And when you had your time with the king, you had the choice of what you could take with you or say. And she chose to submit to what the eunuch had told her to say, the suggestion, and she was highly favoured as that. And the king, when he saw her, he was taken with her beauty. But I don't think it was just her beauty, physical beauty. I think he was taken by her character, her inner beauty. And that's a challenge for me as well. I can't say that I'm amazingly beautiful now. I am, you can ask my husband. But I am beautiful. But as you grow older, the wrinkles come and things like that. But she had beauty treatment. She had to go for a year for beauty treatments, and she had to submit to that. Now, I can't imagine myself going for a year for beauty treatments. I wouldn't mind a week or something, but for a year, that would be a lot to do. But it was really important that she, the king, I think he chose her in her beauty, and she got to know the king. And when it comes to the point now in the story, there's lots of that happens in the story, but the important bit is where Haman, the prime minister, well, he was the prime minister, he wanted to see the Jews. Well, there was Mordecai used to come to the gate, and he would not bow down to Haman because everybody else would bow down to Haman. He refused to do it. So Haman got cross with him and didn't like that at all and wanted to see him gone. So, but he decided also that he wanted to see rid of all the Jews. So he went to the king, and then the king agreed to set a law to get rid of all the Jews. So it comes to the point of the passage, which I'll read just very quickly. Sorry, I thought I had it on my paper, but it didn't print this morning, so I'll read it from my Bible. Verse 11. In chapter 4 says, all the king's officials and the people of the royal provinces know that for any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned, the king has but one law, that he be put to death. The only exception to this is for the king to extend the golden scepter to him and spare his life. But 30 days have passed since I was called to go to the king. When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer. Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to a royal position for such a time as this. Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, nights or day. I am made so fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. and if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went away and carried out all Esther's instructions. And you can see that that Esther, sorry, I'm just trying to find my bit. Esther was, she wasn't hasty in going to the king. When she found out that Mordecai, she actually asked, found out what was happening. She went to Mordecai, but she wasn't hasty. And she fasted and prayed for 3 days before going to the king. And she asked others to do the same. Now, I don't know about you, but I can sometimes be hasty in doing things, and especially in things that I feel that are on my heart or something that feel passionate about. I can sort of go in haste. But we need to sometimes go and wait and sort of go to others and ask others to pray. And I've been facing some challenges at times, and I've found it really helpful when people have actually been able to actually ask people to stand with me. And that's really important that we do that, and that I pray as well, that I don't go without praying. She was wise in her decisions. She waited for the right moment before speaking. And I don't know about you, but especially as a woman, your emotions can, mine do anyway, can get carried away. Ask my husband, you know. Not answering. But she was wise, and she waited for the right time. And obviously, she was prepared to risk her own life. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a big challenge. But she was prepared for the right to say, to go to the king, and he did show favour to her when she went. And she offered a banquet and to him. And I just wanted to say, I wonder how fat the king was, because all the banquets he had. I think he was quite fat, but well, big. Sorry, not fat. That's not a nice word. But I think he was quite big. He must have eaten a lot. But she knew the king, and she was wise in what she did. So, but to risk her own life, I wanted to finish. Being obedient can cost us. I just finished with a very quick story. Am I still allowed to carry on? I don't know if I've done my 5 minutes or not. Time's up. Sorry, I wasn't looking at it. Okay, my story was I was walking through the high street and I saw a Jehovah's Witness on the side, and he was just looked really sad, and I just felt challenged to talk to him, but I asked if I could pray with him, and I felt God speak to me about a word, and I thought, I can't say this to a Jehovah's Witness, he won't believe me, and so I did. I felt God prompt me, and it's about a word about his upbringing, and afterwards his face went pale, and he actually thanked me for speaking to him and for praying. And that was taking a risk. I didn't know what was going to happen. But I just want to challenge us. We should be obedient to do the right thing that we know God is calling us to do. And sometimes this can be a risk for us. We should be wise, like Esther, in the way we go about it, not hasty, asking others to pray as well as praying and maybe fasting ourselves. For such a time like this, what is your time made for? Maybe not like Esther, but think where you are placed. Work, home, and your friends.
Father, we want to thank you that, Lord, you just reminded us again of this story of Esther. And I pray that we would be the courageous people, Lord, to say the right thing at the right time. And I pray, Lord, that it wouldn't just be a forced courage where we feel, oh, we have to do this. But I want to ask, Holy Spirit, would you come and fill us? I pray that we would live our lives in such a way that we submit daily to you. And we thank you. Lord, we hear about this beauty treatment for a year to prepare for the moment to speak to the king. Well, we want to ask, Lord, that we would have almost like a year's preparation, that we would be in the quiet place. We'd be coming and being filled with the Holy Spirit, that our lives would be submitted to you, that we would just love to see what you are speaking to us in your word. We would love to gather with other believers. And I pray, Lord, that in those moments you would make us bold and courageous, that when the moment arrives, as it did for Esther, that she would be very clear and say, no, save my people. And we thank you for this story, Lord Jesus, of Eileen just speaking to this Jehovah's Witness. And we pray, Lord, make us brave and courageous people, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
And here we have Joe Kamanu.
Thank you. So when Duncan asked me, I think it was Monday when he said, we got an email saying, can you speak? And I thought, oh my gosh, I don't know what I'm going to say. And then he said, you've got 7 minutes. And that got even worse. I think, what can I say in 7 minutes? And then we got another text saying, actually, you've got 5 minutes. So I was writing, now I've got 4 minutes. So I was writing stuff down, and I thought, you know, I can't do this. And last night, I thought, I'm going to get rid of what I'd written. And this morning, my quiet time, I got to, and I said, God, what are we going to talk about today? And I think it's about knowing God, so I hope it will minister to you. So I'm going to speak a few scriptures, and the first one is Philippians 3:10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Philippians 1:6, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. And the last one is Galatians 2:20, which I really love. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. But the life I now live, I live according to the righteousness of the Son of God who died and gave himself for me. So Philippians 1:16 really, I think, set the tone for my life, and I believe is an anthem. It says, he who began a good work in us will bring it to completion. And I think there is our hope, there is our confidence, that he, God, will never leave us nor forsake us, even to the end of time. So when we're going through the fire, he's always with us, and to rest in that hope. If anything has helped me stay afloat, it's been through this confidence that for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Yeah. My faith has been strengthened, it has been stretched, and it's been stirred. It is not easy to emerge, and it's not easy to declare God's greatness in the midst of life-altering moments, and I've had quite a few of those. When sometimes we cannot see the trees from the woods because of our anguish, because of our pain, because of our disappointment, it is quite challenging. And it's difficult, almost as difficult as childbirth. No. You cannot look poised, and you cannot look polite giving birth. It is a journey out of this world, which is why it is known as labor. And our walk with Christ can sometimes feel like labor. We expect it also, because Scripture tells us that in this world, we will have tribulations, and yet the comfort in him, we're reminded that because be of good cheer, you have overcome the world. We rest in the hope and faith that God is faithful. He's ever faithful, that he will never leave us nor forsake us, yeah, even to the end of days. Yeah. And that is why we fight our battles on our knees, that through prayer and through supplication, through praise, we make our requests made known to God, that we may know him and the power of his resurrection. It is this desire to know God that empowers us to keep the faith. It is this joy that is set before us, allowing us to endure. It is this hope through that causes us to declare that though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So mothers, keep up the faith. God is with you. Never stop believing, because you have already overcome. Keep his word in your mouth and declare as always, I have never seen the righteous forsaken. Never have I seen his seed begging bread. It is well.
Come on. Father, I want to thank you so much. I thank you for that picture, oh God, of giving birth is not an easy thing. It doesn't always look nice. It looks messy, but you birth something in us. And I want to thank you, oh God, that exactly the same way, Lord, you birth something within us now. Oh God, you're birthing a passion for you, King Jesus. Lord, you're birthing a love for you. You're birthing within us a love for your word, oh God. I want to thank you that, Lord, you started something extraordinary in us, and you will see it through to completion. Lord, it is your work. It's your grace, oh Lord. We didn't save ourselves. You saved us, and we want to thank you for that, oh God. Father, we delight in you, oh Lord, and we pray now, Lord, cause our hearts to become ablaze with worship for you, oh God. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, whenever we say we believe in you and that you're the God of miracles, Lord, we believe that you want to do miracles in our own lives. But I felt God speak to me when we were singing that, thinking, oh, I believe in you, and you want to do miracles through me. And you want me to be a blessing to my neighbors. And you want to speak the miraculous words of grace to my friends, to my unbelieving friends. And we want to ask, oh God, that as we worship you and say we believe in you, Lord, would you come and do mighty things through us? Lord, we once again, we just cry out to you for this part of London, oh God. And we say, do a mighty, mighty work. Lord, we pray, raise up many, many churches in this part of London, oh God. So often, Lord, so under church, but we say, God, let your name be known in this part of North London, we ask. Do many miracles, Lord, we pray, through us. Father, thank you. And we believe that you are building something in us. And I'm just going to ask Alameda to come and in effect close us.
Praise the name of the Lord. I wish I'd listened to your story on Esther last week. I may not be here because I think I was hasty in agreeing to do this. Praise God. Today I'm just going to be talking about the Proverbs 14:1 woman. It just says that every woman, well, it says every wise woman builds the house. But I just wanted to zero in on the building and the woman. I've been quite emotional since I thought this is what I was going to say. Because really, I think it should be that every woman is a superhero. When you look at it, what is it to build? Before we see the building, the architects have been at work, the structural engineers have been at work, the quantity surveyors have been at work, right? And then, you know, you have all kinds of masons, plumbers, electricians, everybody, like a million, an army. And yet God says that the wise woman builds. That has to be a superwoman. And the reason that I'm not zeroing in only on the mothers is because the word here says woman. And sometimes you see four-year-olds, you know, I have a daughter who when she was four used to make sure everything was in place. So if you're a woman, if you're a mother, you're amazing. If you're a woman, you're even more amazing. And then, you know, this is in the Old Testament. So the women who believe in Jesus, who are born again, they're like superheroes on steroids. I just wanted to celebrate to you this morning. Because really, what is it to build? You put things together, things that are not even there sometimes. I think a lot of the women here have multiplied the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, I'm sure. Right? You've brought out things where there didn't seem to be anything. It says that you've strengthened, you know. A few days ago, my accomplished daughter said, oh, well, last year she wants to do an MBA. She's going to have to do an exam before she can do an MBA. A few days before the exam, she calls me. She says, if I don't do this MBA, does it matter? Oh, it doesn't matter. But then, you know, in the next instant, I was, but you know you're this, and you know you're that, and you know you can do this, and which is what we do as women. She did the exam. She didn't pass it. She calls me. I didn't pass it. I had to fly into my mode of, oh, no, that's all right. You're still amazing. You're still wonderful. And that's what women do generally. We strengthen. We improve things. Wherever we find ourselves, women are always building. Women are always making things stronger. Women are always making things better. You know, if you're a woman here, fantastic if you have children. But even if you don't have children, and a woman is not, I think it's when you reach puberty. I think that's, I don't know, from age 12, age 13. And I think that today, God just wants to tell us all women that he couldn't do this without us. He couldn't build without us. We're working with him. If the women decided they were not going to be women and do the things that we do, the world would grind to a halt.
Am I right? Are you here with me? The world would grind to a halt. And I know that I said just the first part of that verse, but I wanted to also look at it. It says that the foolish woman tears it down. What that tells me is that the default of every woman is to build. It's only when you are foolish that you tear it down. So our default is to build. What excites me also is the fact that it says a foolish woman. It doesn't say a woman who is not beautiful. It doesn't say a woman who is suffering with one ailment or the other. It doesn't say a woman who can't cook. It doesn't say a woman who is not a great career woman. It doesn't say, you know, any of those things that sometimes we think we must be to be amazing. It just says that a foolish woman. And thank God there's no foolish woman here, because the Bible tells us that it is only a fool who says in his heart there is no God. So the fact that you're here means that you're not foolish. Praise the name of the Lord. So I just have a few things here. It says it takes perception to build. It takes creativity. We're miracle workers. It takes planners and executioners. It's one thing to plan. It's another thing to execute. Every woman does that. It takes resourcefulness. It takes prudence. The truth is that the guys who are here, if you didn't have your wives, you wouldn't be here looking the way you look. Right? I'm sorry. But you really wouldn't. Okay, somebody thinks his midriff is a bit too big, so it would be slimmer if he wasn't married. Yeah? I say here that it takes boldness to build. There are many times we wake up in the morning and we really just don't feel like it. But we are not allowed to not feel like it when we wake up in the morning. Things have to go. There are things to be done. And we have to do them. It takes long suffering. You know, it takes long suffering. Somebody says if your child is wayward, you know, just keep praying. You know, sometimes you get weary keeping on praying. But the woman does, right? The woman is a self-starter who always gets the job done. Always gets the job done. The woman is a God translator, because the truth about it is that when God created man, he looked at man and knew man couldn't do it all. That man would not even make it to the finish line. And so he says, I've got to give him some help. And then he created the woman and decided to give the world some help. Honestly, today I reiterated that God could not do it without us. I just wanted to say one word about house. House is not just home. House is wherever you find yourself, which is what women do. You see them in the bus stops and they're organizing stuff. You see them in the shops, they're organizing stuff. You see them in the schools and they're organizing stuff. Honestly, today I just want to celebrate you if you're a woman. I think that God says that he sees us sometimes when we really have to continue to pray. He sees us when we are like Anna. And all he wants is just for us to get closer to him sometimes when we have those issues. He sees the women who are multiplying loaves. They have just one loaf, and every time they're making sure that it goes around. God says that he sees you and he thanks you. Because if you were not here doing that, who would be doing it? God celebrates, Well, I'm representing God here today, right? I celebrate the women who seem to be doing it alone. Sometimes even in a marriage, the man isn't doing very much and the woman seems to be doing it alone. And then I celebrate the women who are not in marriages and they're still bringing up children, bringing up siblings, bringing up, looking after parents, you know. Sometimes when we're young, yes, you know, we get looked after. But then when we get older, it's not all the men who can look after. But the woman is always, you know, in the middle, looking after parents, looking after children, and trying to look after herself. I celebrate you. And I just pray that today is not just a day that people, you know, my phone is going crazy. People sending all kinds of, you know, happy Mother's Day. It's nice to receive those things, but I don't know how the phone is filling. But it's not a day that we're just going to receive all these things. It's a day that we're really going to be touched. God is going to touch each woman here, especially, letting you know that we're co-laborers with God, and honestly, he could not do it without us. Praise the name of the Lord. Time was up about how many minutes ago, but...
I think from this morning, what you have to do is you have to hear something, maybe one or two things, and just take them home, and write them down and say, you know, that's what another building block that you will lead your life on. I think it's just, I thank you so much for these six women who've just shared something at relatively short notice as well, have just stood up. And I thank you so much. I thank you not just for sharing something this morning, but I thank you for sharing our lives with you. And do you know what? Sometimes Mother's Day is a tricky time, you know? And actually, as a church leader, it's a tricky time. Because you think, well, what do you do for, how do you celebrate the women that aren't mothers? And the women who would desperately long to be mothers, but can't be mothers. And so what you do is you just say, okay, we're going to value women. And we're going to say, the one thing that we can say is that we all do have a mum, okay? We do all do have a mum, and we thank God for that gift of life that was over us. So we're going to, I'm just going to pray to finish, but I think we long for God to break into these situations. So these guys are going to play something in a minute. If there's anything in particular that has touched your life, we would really love to pray for you, just down here, down at the front. Sandy's got a team of people. We would really love to pray for you. And then also, I just want to share that these, we believe, just as we finish, that there are, you know, God gives us these words of knowledge sometimes, a real insight. You know, and you read it in the Bible, Jesus had a word of knowledge for somebody, and he said to some woman, he gave her some of her background, and then it opened up. So these are some words of knowledge that people have had during the somebody has had during the service, and they said this, that there could be somebody here who's feeling that they are bisexual, and that they're troubled by it, and that Jesus, what we need to speak to them is that Jesus wants to enfold them and comfort them, and you're worried that the church would condemn you, but actually Jesus wants to enfold you with your love. Now, the trouble is, we do believe in man, we believe in men and women, and actually all the stuff about gender fluid nonsense that's going on at the moment, you know, like, okay, we don't believe in that, but we believe wherever you are, whatever your circumstances, there is grace and love, okay? And we do believe, and we believe that God breaks into our lives through love, not condemning us. So if that is you, it'd be really good to pray. Just find somebody that would really love to pray for you. Then there's somebody else, somebody who had bad news of a bereavement and they were sitting in a blue car when they were crying. And then lastly, somebody who's hiding their needs like Moses' sister. Someone has to let their child go and worried and is worried, but God has great plans for them and their child. If any of those three things are you, find somebody to pray for you, or come and pray for me. Come and find me, and I will come and pray for me if you want. I don't want. I'd be really grateful for that. But don't go without allowing God's grace to speak into your life. Is all right? Let's stand, and I'm going to pray, and then we'll finish. Father, I want to thank you for all of these accounts that we have heard. And Lord, overarching it all, it's, Lord, we trust you with our lives. We trust you in every situation in our lives. Even sometimes, Lord, when we're confused with areas of sexuality, we just say, okay, God, we trust you with our lives. We trust you. We're going to trust you to remain pure, sexually pure. And Father, we thank you that you're the God of miracles and you love to come and work in our lives. And we pray, come help us. Help us to press into you more and more and more, oh God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.